for it, but I promise you that it was out there. And I've never seen it since. I almost don't want to, because it exists like that truck driver in Phantom 309. It's almost more powerful than it. I've never seen it again. But I saw a movie called Billy Jack. You remember Billy Jack? And I made up my mind early that there's something, I could give you a theological reason, but I'll just say there was something cool about that one tin soldier who was so committed to a cause that he could walk and be quiet but radical. And I'm going to suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that you've gone almost the entire year. I don't know, I know it's the 25th of December, but I don't know what day in the calendar is, but we've only got about 8 of them left days in this year. You've gone almost all year, and I'm going to suggest to you the most radical thing you've done this year, you've done this morning, being here. Being here this morning at 11 o'clock is the most radical thing you've done. Let me explain to you, using the motto of our church, that we're simple and want to, our desires to be deep. Let me make this simple, and I'm going to tell you, in the going deep, it's radical in three ways. At three different levels, it's radical. The first way it's radical is between Christians, among Christians. It is somewhat ironic that one of the lowest attended services in any church is the Christmas Day service. Thank you for being here, but it's radical that you're here. We love to say, keep Christ in Christmas, except on Christmas Day. I mean, we'll keep Christ in Christmas, but not on Christmas Day. And in any church, this is not a criticism of any group, but among Christians, you can look statistically, the lowest attended worship service is a Christmas Day service. There's an irony there. There was an irony that made the internet among pastors a sign that was sent around. I don't know what, and I'm glad I don't know what church or what city, but they had a sign on their marquee that said, all services canceled this week in honor of Christmas. It's radical that you're here. See, Christmas, of course, is not about materialism. I hope you got some good gifts, or if you were too tired this morning to open them up from last night, I hope by the end of the day you'll get some good gifts. I hope I get some good gifts, and I have. So, we're not opposed to gifts, but Christmas is not about materialism. You agree with me about that, right? Absolutely. It's not about football. You agree with me about that? Okay, we're getting on a little thinner. It's not about... Now I'm going to really meddle. It's not about shopping. And brothers and sisters, it's not primarily about family. Family's important. And if you have it, value it. But I met with someone this past week in a prayer and counseling way who was upset because her church was having a service yesterday, but it was for families only, the way it was billed. And she's in her 60s and she's never been married and she didn't feel welcome. See, we're doing something very radical, because what we're saying is that not only Christmas, but all of our lives and all of our being is in Christ alone. It's either sola Christus, Christ alone, or it's nothing. So you're doing something radical. And when you say Christmas, there's somebody's name in there that's not me, and it's not you. It's Christ. So at the first level, we're sort of doing something radical, even among our brothers and sisters. But at the second level, we're doing something radical among other religions. We are doing something that's extremely exclusive. I got so angry this morning. And it was the same anger that I got from this past week reading a sermon from 1530, a pastor that lived around that time that I like to read his sermons. And I was reading a sermon that he preached in 1530. And he preached at that time that instead of uniting all faiths at the event of Christmas, that Christmas was actually that dividing line that separated Christianity from every other faith. He understood from Psalm 2, which we read just a few moments ago, that God was going to give this son, and this son was going to rule with a rod of iron. This son was going to crush every other competitor. So it's by celebrating Christmas, we're not doing something that's multi-faith. And where I got angry this morning is I heard a Christmas message early this morning from an elected official, and who it was is unimportant. But what that elected official said was that Christmas this time of year is a wonderful, and I quote, "It's a wonderful time that unites all religions." Someone's not told that boy the story. Someone's not instructed that individual that the story is that God Almighty incarnated Himself in one particular person. And it excludes all others. Anyone who would deny that one particular person denies the Father that sent His Son. So we're doing something radical at that level. But let me get to the most radical. Even more radical than all of that, we're doing something radical between God and man. See, an accident happened. A collision happened. You ever been in a car wreck? I know you have. What is a collision? I mean, if you think about it, a car wreck is where something that you didn't want hitting together, hit together, right? You may have collided with a tree because you were texting. You may have been collided with another vehicle because they were texting or just a bad driver. You may have collided with ice. But a collision happened. A collision happened at Christmas, and it's the most radical of all things. It's what separates us from every other faith. It's what gives us hope and reminds us of the importance of the day. A collision happened between the infinite and the finite. Do you understand, brothers and sisters, that when God said, "I cannot be contained in home house made with hands," He's right. We can't build a temple and demand that He's going to be there. But Colossians 2 does tell us that the infinite can be contained in the finite. That there was a collision between the infinite nature of God and the finite nature of man, and it came together in Jesus Christ, and a collision happened, and it will never be separated. That's why it takes 12 days to ponder it, brothers and sisters, as Mary did. We shouldn't quickly get beyond this, that God became man. Would you become a frog out of your love for frogs? You might become, I didn't use dogs, because some of us may choose to become a dog. Can you envision that, what would you think if I told you out of my deep love for gnats, I have decided to become a gnat? What would you think? What if you would say, you know, out of my deep love for the most reprehensible thing or person you can think, I am going to become them. The God of the universe was bound in swaddling clothes. Even Samson in the Old Testament could burst chains. And you're going to take the infinite and wrap them tightly in cloth? We can't get over this. We'll spend eternity focusing upon it. And like any good collision, we're never the same after a collision. when I was about 17 years old, I was driving my grandmother in her automobile down Forest Brook Road, between Old Forest Road and Lakeside Drive. And I guarantee you, just about everyone in this room has been on Old Forest Brook Road. But something happens to me when I drive, even today, even 40-some years later, something happens to me when I drive on Forest Brook Road that doesn't happen to you. I reach a certain part of an S-curve in Forest Brook Road, and I emotionally, I mean, it doesn't, I don't have to stop driving, but I am emotionally touched. And you probably aren't. You know the difference? I had a collision. A guy was coming in the wrong lane, and he hit us head on. And like some places that you probably had a collision, and you drive by now, and you remember that time, and you know how it makes you just sort of jump? Well, that's a tragic story. Fortunately, no one was hurt severely, but I remember it because a collision happened. Brothers and sisters, just like when John the Baptist in the womb of his mother leapt at the presence of Christ, we should leap. It should catch us and startle us that a collision happened at Christmas that we'll never get over. The infinite Father of love collided with the finiteness of man. And we should be remembering it to this day. Amen. Sometimes collisions happen and we're not aware of it. Sometimes you have like a little fender bender or something happens and you think you're fine and you find out later that it did more damage than you thought. You know that phenomenon? Sometimes we're not completely aware of how significant the collision was at the moment. This song that we're going to listen to and meditate with ask the question of one who probably wasn't aware fully of the impact of that collision between God and man. And we today are not fully aware of the impact. And brothers and sisters, we'll spend all eternity pondering the impact of that collision. May it begin right now.
The lame will leave, the dumb will speak, the prayer. Baby, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect land? This sleeping child you're holding is the grave.
We don't know until the Holy Spirit turns our hard, cold hearts into a soft, receptive heart. We don't know until, as that wonderful Christian radical woman, Corrie ten Boom, would say, as she said, Christ could have been born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, and it would matter not until he's been born one time in your heart. So we not only struggle with comprehending that type of love, we also confess in the midst of the struggle, we wouldn't get it at all if it wasn't for the gracious gift of the Holy Spirit that enables the carnal to understand just a glimpse. So let us ponder as Mary that the love of the infinite contains himself in an incarnate body, and then on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and having given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and said again, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On the same way, after supper, he took a cup. Having given thanks, he blessed it and he distributed it and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you, the blood of the new covenant, for the full remission and forgiveness of your sins. Drink ye all of it." For as often as we drink this blood and eat this body, we commune, we participate, we confess again that amazing collision that the finite can contain and receive the infinite. And as Paul said, that is our hope of glory, Christ in us. We pray, O God, that as you have given us your gift of incarnation and your promise that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be there. And your word, that when we take this, we are taking your body and your blood. Lord, forgive us of the arrogance that allows us at times to only believe what we can understand. May our confession not be based on the puny nature of our understanding, but only, always, upon the quality and the veracity of your eternal word. So we come with full expectation that we receive you. In Christ's most holy name we pray. Amen.